Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tovin LePan. I'm a reporter at the Las Vegas Sun, and my guest today is the Las Vegas Sun's editorial cartoonist, Mike Smith, who's been at the Sun since 1983. And you can find his cartoons also in the Los Angeles Times, Newsweek, the New York Times, and USA Today. I want to ask just, you know, were you first a cartoonist? Did you get into drawing first, or have you always been into politics? What came first?
That's a good question. The drawing came first. I mean, I always doodled as a kid, and, you know, always liked drawing cars and trains and boats, and didn't get into applying drawing to politics until I was really a junior in college.
Okay.
And that's when I kind of decided that this is what I want to do for a living.
I see. And where did you go to college?
I went to Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And as a junior there, I, under the suggestion of a friend, I started drawing some cartoons for the campus newspaper. And once I saw how much trouble I could get into doing that, I thought, hey, this would be a great way to, you know, make a living. And so then started the process to, you know, find myself a job on a newspaper.
And what was some of the best advice you got when you were starting, you know, that I don't know, sent you down the right path?
Well, I think most of the advice I got was probably wrong, which was, you know, don't do this. It's not practical. Nobody gets paid to be a cartoonist. You can't get a job on a newspaper. You have to have connections at a newspaper to get a job on a newspaper. All of those things were really ended up not to be true. It's just a matter of, you know, doing the work, sending it out, and finding a newspaper that's interested in your work and likes your point of view, and then just, you know, going after it. And it, persistence pays off. It's really more about persistence than anything else. One bit of advice that I did get when I was in college, I used to go down to the Los Angeles Times office to visit Paul Conrad, who was the three or four time Pulitzer Prize winner at the Los Angeles Times, and I really admired his work. And the first time I went to see him, I brought some samples of my cartoons in for him to look at, and he went over all of them with a fine-tooth comb, and at the end of our meeting said, well, Mike, if you ever want to get a job, you better learn how to draw. And it was harsh criticism, but it was probably good criticism because it really made me buckle down and start, you know, working on my work to make it better.
I see. Well, I mean, did you feel at the time that you weren't a great artist? I mean, you said you've been drawing since a kid. I mean, was it technical aspects of drawing that you needed to work on?
Yeah, he was talking about the technical aspects. He also criticized a lot of what I was trying to say in the cartoons to impress upon me that I probably needed to be clearer in the way I was executing my ideas. But, you know, for the most part, it was about the drawing. And, you know, the drawing, at least for me, I've been doing this for close to 30 years now. The drawing still evolves. It's not, you know, I've never gotten to the point where the drawing has reached a certain point and then stopped evolving. It's still evolving. And it probably, as long as I'm doing this, it probably always will.
And you mentioned Paul Conrad, right? And were there other cartoonists that you just followed or tried to emulate or just liked their style?
Initially, you know, Conrad was kind of the main catalyst, the main force behind my interest. And initially, you know, I tried to emulate his style. But, you know, eventually I realized, you know, I would never be anything more than a cheap imitation of Paul Conrad if I did that, and that was really pointless. And so then I started really trying to develop my own style. And I think once you get a job on a newspaper, it really takes about 10 years before your artistic style is fully developed. So it's editorial cartooning is an ongoing process. It's a fluid thing. And it, you know, I was lucky when I got my job at the Sun that, you know, they were willing to give me that time and space to develop.
And how was that that experience when you were out of college looking for work? I mean, obviously, newspapers only employ one editorial cartoonist, and so there's not that many jobs out there.
Right, no, there's not that many jobs at all. And, you know, I was just probably, young and naive enough that I didn't really realize how difficult it was and what a giant hill that was to climb. And so I just started sending things out everywhere across the country. And one day I got a call at school from Michael Callahan, who was a former two-term governor of Nevada. And he worked at The Sun, along with the publisher then, Hank Greenspun, and Hank Greenspun's assistant, Ruthie Deskin, had opened the mail and saw my cartoons and showed them to Michael Callahan. Michael Callahan took an interest and called me, and it all kind of started the ball rolling from there. And for, I'd say, about a year, I acted as if I had a job at The Sun and would just draw a cartoon every day and send it into the paper, and every once in a while they would, you know, maybe print two or three of them a week. Yeah. And eventually it turned into a job.
Wow. And so, you know, going back to you, you said now that was what, like almost 30 years ago, right? And so what have been the changes? I mean, obviously there's been a lot talked about in terms of the changes in newspapers, but how has that specifically affected, you know, the profession?
Well, it's affected it a lot, because a lot of papers, as they're cutting back, you know, are completely getting rid of their editorial cartoonist positions, which I think is foolish. You know, the media is becoming increasingly visual, especially with newspapers moving to the internet. And, you know, editorial cartoons are the one unique visual form of communication that works in print and translates very well to the internet. And so it just makes sense to me that since it is something that translates well and it's something that is easy to understand and something that people look for in the paper, that would be something that, you know, papers would want to keep.
And speaking of, you know, working well in print and the internet, I wanted to ask you about, I think it was 2010, Mark Fior, is it?
Yes.
Of the SFGate.com,
yes.
San Francisco Chronicle, he won the Pulitzer, and he does animations, right? You know, full animations where you click on, it's almost like a video, a cartoon. And I wanted to ask you, do you see editorial cartoon going in that direction, or are there problems with that format? You know, is that sort of the future of what people will be doing, you know, in the profession?
I don't think so. Not specifically for editorial cartoons, because I think the static cartoon, the cartoon with no movement, you know, translates very well to the web and is an easy, quick read for readers. And it is a feature that is there every day on the website, and it changes every day. So, you know, I would think that a website would want to have something like that where, you know, readers would come back to it every day. The video, you know, there's a handful of guys that have tried doing the video, and it really hasn't caught on. It really hasn't garnered a lot of, you know, consistent attention. So I don't know that it's worth the work to do a full animated editorial cartoon. Mm-hmm. There's probably other things to be said with the animated work instead of just using it for editorial cartoons.
Mm-hmm. And I was, now you also do cartoons about NASCAR, right? About stock car racing?
Yes.
And is that, you have an interest in stock car? How did that all come about?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how it came about. It came about actually when they built the track here. And I'd always been interested in automobiles and racing and stock car racing in particular. And when they built the track here, I thought, oh, it would be kind of fun to try something new. And so I started doing these cartoons on news out of NASCAR. And actually, we started running them in one of the other Greenspun companies, Vegas.com, they started running them, and they got some hits and got some attention, and then we moved it over to the paper, and you know, that's kind of how it all got started.
And I wanted to ask you, in terms of your favorite cartoons that you've done of your own, when, you know, I know I've seen like year in reviews of your favorite cartoons from, say, 2011 on LasVegasSun.com, and what are the central elements of your favorite cartoons? Or even when you look at somebody else's cartoon, like what goes into, say, the perfect or a well-done editorial cartoon?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. You know, it depends on the subject matter, because the way you approach the news, you approach elements in the news differently depending on what the news is. So if you're drawing a cartoon about something that is a very sober event, you know, you're not going to be drawing a cartoon that's going for a laugh. And the other side of that coin is not every cartoon has to save the world, you know. I mean, cartoons can be about humorous things in the news. They can be about things people are talking about. I think a lot of times there's a tendency for cartoonists to think, well, I need to be drawing things about serious subjects only, or I need to be drawing things about what I think my readers should be concerned about. But I think it's okay to be drawing cartoons about things that your readers actually are concerned about, even if it happens to be a big story about Britney Spears. I mean, to me, that's a legitimate news for an editorial cartoon also. But, you know, a lot of times people ask me, is it difficult to sit down every day and come up with a funny idea? And I always say the same thing. Well, I'm not trying to be funny. You know, my job is really all about reading and gathering information and then just looking at that blank piece of paper until the inspiration comes. But I don't sit down and say, all right, now what's funny about this? If the cartoon I draw happens to be funny, well, it's just that because that's the way my brain works, I guess.
And speaking a little bit about your process, how many cartoons do you do a week? I mean, you have the Las Vegas Sun duties and the stock car ones and then...
Well, I'm doing a cartoon every day except Saturday and Monday. So that's five a week for the Sun plus the NASCAR cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is a lot of your process just reading newspapers?
It's all about absorbing information. I mean, more and more I'm moving towards the web for my information. But I still read, you know, four newspapers a day. Mm-hmm. And it's just about absorbing information. The more the information is kind of the spark for the creative process. You really need to have that information in your head in order for the creative process to start. And once you've done that homework every day, then, like I said, it's a matter of looking at that blank piece of paper until something starts to come into your head. But I will tell you this, the closer you get to the deadline, the more creative you become. I need that pressure in order to be creative. I really need to be under the gun. It's kind of the thing that keeps me motivated and makes the wheels of my brain turn. I know a lot of artists, you know, if they need to be creative, they got to go to a mountaintop somewhere and it's got to be peaceful and quiet and they wait for the inspiration to hit them. You know, an editorial cartoonist doesn't really have that luxury. He's got to go out and find the inspiration. He can't sit around and wait for it to hit him or her because, you know, you have a deadline, you just don't have the time.
And now, you know, as a reporter, myself, you know, obviously I come up with some ideas, my editors assign me things. Is there that same give and take with you and the Sun editors? Are they asking you to do cartoons on certain topics? Sometimes?
No, they don't usually do that, but people suggest things all the time. And sometimes I'll even, you know, ask somebody, you know, what's going to be the big story tomorrow. But in my process, you know, I don't really work in a vacuum. I maybe have 2 to 4 ideas a day. And then I show those to some of the people here in the newsroom to get their reaction because I need to know if my idea works. Just because I think it works doesn't necessarily mean it will. And frankly, sometimes if you've got an idea that you've been looking at for a couple hours, you can kind of lose your perspective on it too. So you need to have some feedback in order to ascertain whether or not what you're doing is going to work for your readers.
All right, this is you're listening to 91.5 KUNV. This is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tobin LePan, and I'm here with Mike Smith, the editorial cartoonist for the Las Vegas Sun. And Mike, I want to ask you, we have the caption contest for your cartoons where you do the cartoon with a blank dialogue bubble and readers get to submit their suggestions. And did that started at USA Today? Is that right? You started doing it with them? Or?
You know, actually, to tell you the truth, we used to do that here at the Sun many, many years ago before there was internet. And we did it with mail. People would mail in their responses and then we'd get a large amount of mail and then we'd have to sift through it all. And then recently, there's kind of been a renewed interest in this kind of cartooning, and USA Today started it, and I'm doing it for them, and then we decided to start doing it here too, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that come up with really creative ideas.
And Katie, so you have one for the month of May that's going on right now, right? Could you describe it a little bit and what you're asking people to you know?
Yeah. It's the one this month is a man and woman at a marriage counselor. And the woman is a Mitt Romney supporter and the man is a Barack Obama supporter. So they're there at the marriage counselor, and the balloon is coming from the marriage counselor. So that, you know, anybody playing the game will have to figure out what the marriage counselor should be saying in this situation.
I got you. And have you had any favorites in the past, or ones where readers sent in some comment or a suggestion that you were like, man, I would have never have thought about it. But
hilarious. That happens all the time. Yeah, people, because when I do this, I don't really have an idea of what the caption should be. People send in things all the time, and I think to myself, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that. A lot of times, you know, of course, the ones that are the most fun are the ones you can't run in the paper.
Of course. So you run the cartoon then with the winning submissions caption, right? And then is there a prize or anything?
Well, the winner gets a copy of the cartoon with their caption in it.
Ah, cool. Yeah. And so you can obviously do that at LasVegasSun.com.
Yes.
And submit your suggestions for the May cartoon. I want to ask you, do you get a lot of reader reaction? And especially now with, the internet, and people can just instantly comment on your stories. And are you getting a lot more comments than you used to?
I think we're getting more comments than we used to, simply because the cartoon is on the Las Vegas Sun's website, and there's a spot there where people can comment. You know, it used to be, if you wanted to comment, you had to write a letter to the editor. You had to sit down and go through the process of writing a letter, or you would call. But still, to this day, the people that are the most moved or the most angry are the ones that call. And, you know, there's a certain collection of people that always call and seem to call when I'm not at work and leave long messages. But, you know, that's you have to expect that. I mean, it's part of the game. It's part of the process. If I'm drawing something that's an opinion and I'm putting my name on it, I've got to expect that some people are going to react to that negatively and aren't going to like it. So you just have to have a thick skin. And really, I think when people react to a cartoon, or really when they react to anything in the paper, they just want to be heard. You know, they just want you to know that they have a philosophy or a take on it that's different from yours. So really, you know, it's just a matter of listening to these people when they call. They just want to be heard, and you know, that's what you have to do. Some cartoonists, I know, they like to get into big arguments with the people that call and complain, but that's just really not necessary.
And just following your cartoons a little bit, I noticed, you know, that you'll have cartoons that deal with, say, poking fun at both sides of the aisle, you know.
Sometimes, yeah. Sure.
Poke fun at Republicans, poke fun at Democrats, and sort of, I see, you know, a lot of equal opportunity cartoons.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, are you conscious of trying to, like, if you've been, I don't know, laying into Obama for a week, that of trying to move back to the, you know, and criticize something from the other party, or are you just going with whatever's coming up each day?
That's a good question, too. I'm just going with what's going on in the news, and then, you know, based on reading and researching, trying to formulating opinion about what I think about that event. I mean, I think editorial cartooning, you know, the drawing board is really just a substitute for the keyboard. Somebody that writes a column, someone that writes opinion, you know, they're using the computer and the keyboard to express their opinion. A cartoonist is doing it with pen and brush. Having said that, though, I'm not sure that editorial cartooning is really journalism. I think it's more of an art form than it is journalism, simply because what I do doesn't conform to the rules that reporters or columnists have to adhere to. I mean, journalists want to get the facts. They want to express. They want to quote directly. They're trying to search for the truth. And it's not that I'm trying to not use facts or not search for the truth, but a cartoonist has a lot more leeway because he's drawing a caricature, first of all. And a caricature is an exaggeration of the person you're drawing. So you're not drawing a realistic representation of anybody. You're going to be exaggerating them in order to create this image that you have of them. And then you're also creating a situation that's based on satire and based on sarcasm and based on exaggeration in order to make a serious point. And those are not things that a reporter or columnist would really do in their work. You know, the way I could portray a politician or the metaphors that I could use to describe a politician in a cartoon are not things you could ever do in a news story. So that's why I think it's really more an art form than it really is journalism, even though journalism is its vehicle.
And I wanted to ask, you know, we spoke a little bit about the industry and you know, the fact that you've been doing this for 30 years now. And I was wondering if, do you see young people getting into the field anymore? I mean,
No, not anymore. You really don't. I think that I'm probably the last generation of people that got into it. So, you know, I'm middle-aged, and there aren't that many people in it that are a lot younger than I am. They're just not.
So you know, are my kids, you know, I don't have kids now, I'm in my 30s. Are my kids not going to have editorial cartoons?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe there'll be a resurgence as a result of the internet. Maybe once the content providers make their final move to the internet and the internet becomes the main place where people are getting their information and those newsrooms are able to support themselves solely off of their internet product, then maybe editorial cartooning will make a comeback. I mean, I certainly hope so. But, you know, drawing cartoons, doing this job, at least for me, is it's kind of a humbling job because you can come to work on one day and be really creative and really have an idea or two that you really like and that you think are really solid and really funny, whatever. And then the next day you can come to work and you'll be looking at that blank piece of paper for hours, struggling to come up with something. So one day you can think to yourself, wow, I'm really good at this. And then the next day you're like, what in the hell am I doing? My brain doesn't even work. So it's, you know, it can be an up and down roller coaster.
I wanted to also ask you about, I think it's a cartoon actually that of yours that we sell on a t-shirt maybe on the Las Vegas
website. Yeah, we website. Did the Barack Bin Laden thing. Yes.
Right, when
yes,
and it's it says checkmate, right?
Yes.
And you see Bin Laden's face in a crosshairs.
Yes.
Right? Is that right?
Yes.
And so I was wondering, was that particularly popular? And did you? And what was your process that day for trying to capture the moment? You know, that there was, you know, obviously
well,
international.
One of those difficult days because, I mean, when you're dealing with war, violence, death, all of those very serious subjects are hard to come up with ideas for. And I had several ideas that day and showed them around to everybody that I work with in the newsroom to get their reaction. And that was the one that I finally decided to go with. And it got a lot of reaction on our website and from people that called. And that's why we decided to do the t-shirt. I mean, we mainly just did it for fun, you know, but that's why we decided to do it.
And but people called in saying they liked it or that you captured.
Well, yeah, they liked it. I mean, because that was, first of all, I mean, it was a news event that everybody knew about. So everybody had, everybody had knowledge of the story. I think everybody had kind of a emotional reaction to Bin Laden's death. And, of course, the whole story of what happened on 9/11 is a very emotional story. And so people are going to really be touched by, we're really touched by that. So anything that's relating to that, you know, people are going to really relate to. Mm-hmm. And it's rare that you have news stories like that you draw about. I mean, on any given day, there's always the risk that the subject matter that you're using is going to be a subject that some of your readers have not heard about or have not read about. But when you're dealing with something like, you know, these large events like the death of bin Laden or 9/11 or, you know, the election of a president, I mean, those things, you know, most of your readers have heard about it. So you're gonna be really be able to reach more people with those big stories when you use them.
And, yeah, I wasn't in Las Vegas during when 9/11 actually happened. I was wondering how you dealt with that. I imagine you did a cartoon at least that
week. Yeah, that's another one of those ones that's very difficult to do, yeah. But you have to do it. And one of the things that you're really conscious of on those days, too, is the fact that every other cartoonist is going to be drawing about that subject matter on that day. Mm-hmm. So you're really kind of looking for something that you don't think somebody else will be doing. I mean, my cartoons are based a lot on dialogue. I don't use a lot of visual gags or visual metaphors. I don't use a lot of symbols in my art. A lot of it is dialogue. And I mean, that's partially by design because I want to try to avoid a lot of the cliche and shop-worn images that you've seen in editorial cartooning over the years. You know, it's a very rare day that I would draw a cartoon that had the Statue of Liberty in it or use the statue of the soldiers raising the flag over Iwo Jima. Those are the kind of things that I would stay away from just because they've been done so many times.
And do you remember what you did for 9/11, or could you describe it a little bit?
You know, I don't remember.
Okay.
but that's not unusual. Sometimes somebody in the newsroom will say, I liked your cartoon yesterday, and then I'm thinking to myself, well, what was the cartoon yesterday? You know, even I forget because once you're done with that, you're moving on to the next thing. You know, same thing as being a reporter. Once you get your story done, you've got another deadline to meet, so you're moving on to the next thing that you need to do. So usually, once I'm finished with one, I'm moving on to the next.
And last question, I just wanted to know if you ever get calls from the people, your subjects of a cartoon, maybe if you cartoon like Harry Reid or something like that, have you ever had any stories you can share with us of someone?
Yeah, Bill Clinton asked for some of my work. You know, other politicians have asked for some of my work. But it's kind of interesting. I would say that more of my cartoons are critical of Republicans than Democrats. But it's always the Republicans that call and ask for the cartoons. They seem to have a bigger sense of humor about themselves. But one of my favorite people to caricature was Oscar Goodman. It's really too bad he's not mayor anymore. I really had a lot of fun with him, and I think he enjoyed it too because he has a large sense of humor, and you know he's a fan of cartoons. Yeah.
So does he have a few copies of your cartoons?
Yeah, he does. All
right.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks for joining us. This is Neon Eden on KUNV 91.5. I'm your host Tovin LePan, and today our guest was Mike Smith, the editorial cartoonist for Las Vegas Sun, and you can read his cartoons daily in the Las Vegas Sun and see them on lasvegassun.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.